In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. Happy Friday morning to you. My name is Mark Widmer, and I'm joining Pastor Ken Keltner in the Word for Life. And we are in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, which is a discussion of seven churches that were in Eastern Asia or ancient Asia that John, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, chose to write about, things that were commendable to the Lord and things that he corrected and reproved them. We are now on the second to the last church, which is the church at Philadelphia, and moving into the church of Laodicea. And so, Pastor Ken, you've got an illustration here that is helping us refer back a little bit to our church at Philadelphia, and tell us about that.
I don't know that it would really be evident of the church at Laodicea, but I believe that the church of Philadelphia could easily have found someone like this. It was Thanksgiving Day, 1996. It was a typical flight, one that occurs thousands of times every day around the world. It was Ethiopian Air Flight 961. Flight 961 took off November 23rd, 1996, from Addis Ababa. On board were 163 passengers and 12 crew members. Among those flying that day were Mr. and Mrs. Andy Meekins, Andy, an elder at the International Evangelical Church of Addis. At one time, he even pastored that large Bible-believing church. But in less than 2 hours, more than 120 people died, including five from that church, and Andy did not survive the crash. Somewhere near Kenya, the horrifying hijack began. Escaped convicts with an axe and a supposed bomb stormed the flight deck, and they savagely beat the co-pilot, and they threw him to the ground. They then ordered the pilot to turn the plane eastward. In spite of the plane's dangerously low fuel tank, the pilot was forced to submit to their demands. The pilot kept pleading for a refueling stop, but to no avail. The hijackers threatened to blow up the plane if he didn't comply. After trying to hug the coast of Africa, the pilot attempted to make it to the Indian Ocean. There was a small island there that he thought he could get to. And when it became evident that they would not make it, the captain announced to the cabin passengers, "Listen, guys, we're all dead people. There's no argument now." Witnesses who survived the crash said that people began to scream and to pray. The crash is well known. A Japanese honeymooning couple filmed the descent, the dip of a wing, the flip, the crash, and the disintegration of the 767 aircraft over the water. News reports, however, never contained what was in a fax to a pastor in the States from Andy's wife. This is what she told her church. "As soon as the captain told us that we were going to crash, I heard a distinct snap of my husband's seatbelt. He was up and out of his chair, going down the aisle row by row where he earnestly shared the gospel of Christ with any who would listen. Before the sickening screech of twisting metal and the 110-mile-per-hour crash of our plane into the water, Andy had signaled to me 20 passengers had trusted Christ for their salvation." Andy never made it back to the safety of his seatbelt, but he took 20 souls with him to paradise. My friends, you see, there was a safe spot in that plane, a shelter where no twisted wreckage could permanently harm anyone, a haven that no crushing impact could ever erase. As believers, one day our faith will be sight and will be secure and alive in Christ Jesus forever. Those were some of the wonderful promises he was given to this church at Philadelphia. But I also heard a challenge that I liked from an old Southern preacher who said, "It's time for our church to wake up and sing up, preach up and pray up and never give up or let up or back up or shut up until the church is filled up or we go up." Amen and amen to that, huh? Wow.
Amen.
Well, we move into another church, our final church, the church of Laodicea, and it is this church that Jesus warns us he is sick of spiritual complacency and the indifference on the part of believers in this church. The title, I guess, apathist, it would be the message I would entitle this. And you say, what's an apathist? You might think it sounds like a made-up word, and you know what? You're right. Apathist, made up. But let me explain. Most people profess belief in God, meaning they are theists. True atheism is a rarity. Recently, however, it's been suggested that we need a new term for the multitude who are theists but are indifferent to God in their daily living. So thus, apathist. It's built on the noun apathy, which means indifference. It's kind of a sort of sluggish concern. I'm sure that you probably, in teaching math class, as we found out in one of our previous broadcasts, you had some kids that you were teaching that were a little apathetic about wanting to learn whatever new math that you were teaching.
Could have been about half of them.
It could have been half. I mean, it just stands out. I mean, it just, you see somebody who's apathetic. I mean, they don't really care. You watch them either on the ball field or possibly they had to, they were made to be in a choir and they don't want to be up there. Yeah. And you just see it. And sadly, whatever belief an individual professes, he may be living as an apathist. His faith may make only a minimal difference in his or her behavior. So I would say this message definitely for the church at Laodicea, like all the previous six churches, these letters are for churches today. And possibly you as a believer, or possibly maybe that you're in a church that seems to be pretty apathetic and indifferent toward honoring God and living for God. So I think this message is for all of us today with this church at Laodicea. For those who profess faith in Jesus, that we're to either be hot or cold, not lukewarm. That's a question. Would you consider yourself a lukewarm Christian? You know, Pastor Mark, what I always love, working with teenagers for so many years, I would love to ask them, on a scale of 0 to 10, where would you say you land? What do you think they said most of the time?
Most often 5.
5. Hey, I'll be comfortable at 5.
Yeah.
And I always look at them and go, 5? You got to be kidding me. You need to be a 0 or a 10. You don't need to be a 5. A 5 is what God says he hates. I pray that if you're listening today and you just kind of did your own little self-evaluation from 0 to 10, where you would find yourself landing. You know, someone would say, well, I'm listening to Christian radio, aren't I? I got to be better than that. Or I was in church last Sunday. But is it just a matter of routine, like brushing your teeth or cleaning your house? Have we lost our first love? That was what happened with that first church there at Ephesus. The zeal that we should have in our spiritual journey, I hope it's only getting stronger. It's not getting weaker. So today, let's make the psalmist's prayer our own. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Friends, all of us know that if we have a doctor that we trust and he gives us a diagnosis and then he gives us the prescription for the cure, we most assuredly should take his recommendation. But of course, if you're self-absorbed or if you're prideful and you think, well, you know what? I think I really have a little better idea than my doctor. And you try to figure it out on your own and you self-diagnose yourself and the cure for the pain or the illness, and you go with your self-diagnosis and not the doctor's, it could result in disaster for you. Jesus, here as the great physician of the soul, has so much to say to us in his word, and he says it right here in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 to 22 about the seriousness that he takes in writing this letter.
And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Okay, so he's writing to these messengers of the church in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia. And here he comes writing to the church at Laodicea because the self-sufficient church was run by the Laodiceans and not by the head of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Subtle, but very alarming, and let us in on our number one spiritual battle that we all face, and that's our pride. The true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Read verse 15 for us.
I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
That is not a very pretty picture.
No.
I don't enjoy being around people that are vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to vomit myself, you know? I try to suppress it as long as I can.
Yeah, that's one way to bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this whole idea of being lukewarm. Let me ask you, when does a person who claims to be a believer start drifting away from the Lord, either from the zero or from the 10? Some of you think, well, zero is bad, man. Cole, we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But when does a person start drifting away from the Lord? Or when does a person just start to get the spiritual blah?
Mm-hmm.
Or when does a person who says he loves Christ get apathetic or indifferent to the things of the Lord? Is it not, my friend, when we take our eyes off the Lord who is the head of the church? Our assignment has been that as we go through the study of these seven churches, that we examine what church would best represent me as a person, or possibly what might even represent the church I attend. And what church best represents you and me? Possibly you see characteristics, both good and bad, from all seven churches here, in our church here at Brookside, mm-hmm. or possibly even in your own life. But the minute you and I lose that love and zeal for the Lord, watch out. When you can take or leave spiritual things, and it's no real big deal to you, be very careful. Remember, none of these churches are around today. Laodicea has the grim distinction of being the only assembly of the seven that the Lord of the church did not commend in some way. The church of Laodicea is unfortunately today's most prevalent type of church. And as we read the verses here, what a sad commentary of a group of believers in the body of the church. And yes, you might be thinking, yeah, it's absolutely terrible. But listen to some of the statistics of a study of the church that I came across today. 10% of all church members cannot be found. 20% never pray. 30% never attend church. 40% never give to any cause. 50% never go to a Bible study or Sunday school class. 60% never go to church on Sunday evening. 70% never give to missions, 80% never go to prayer meetings, 90% never have family devotions, 95% have never been involved in seeing a soul come to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I close with this morning. These are the kind of statistics that breaks God's heart and makes Jesus sick. The spiritual battle, Laodicea, ignored, is ours to fight or else. Join us as we continue our study.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.